Okay, Deirdre, thank you. We moved to Ireland when Christopher was, he had completed first grade in the States. I kind of knew that there was an issue. My only thing was I thought there was an issue kind of around reading. So when I moved, we moved to Galway, and I just asked the school. I said he might need some support around that area. This would be all new to me, even if I was still living in America. It was all new to me, and I didn't really know how services and resources were allocated. So at first, they were kind of saying, you know, without a diagnose and whatnot. It was a very large school in Galway. They kind of said they'd see what they could do. But it wasn't long when his struggles were noted, and he did get resource hours. I think one of the disadvantages that he was struck with straight away, we moved to Ireland in August, and so he was put into a mixed class. So he was in a second/third grade class, and he was considered the older end of second class. But it was a really third class academic. I mean, he just really, really struggled that whole year. They tried to put it on that, you know, it was the move to Ireland. They kind of flopped me off a few times, but I just said there's definitely something here. They finally came out and evaluated him towards the end of the school year. It was spring. And the woman that evaluated me told me that, I mean, it was kind of hard to hear, but at the time she said his reading was the least of my worries, that he was really struggling socially.
Oh, dear. That must have been a huge shock, Bernadette.
Huge. So that was when she mentioned Asperger's. I had heard of it. I knew a friend of a friend whose son had it, but I didn't know anything about it. So like anyone, I went home and I Googled it. And I could think back to when he was, you know, say the preschool years, and there was he was ticking some of the boxes. I think with Christopher, he had a brother that was a year, they're less than a year apart. So they always got on well. So I didn't really, you know, there wasn't, you know, he wasn't in, say, a preschool and not mixing in, you know, like he had children around him. He had cousins similar age. He was in a very structured academic preschool when we were in America. So just nothing was sort of ever kind of mentioned.
Okay.
And even I mentioned it to people, like they thought, oh no, like there's no way like he has Asperger's. So my husband is a Kerry man. And so even though we were in Ireland, he said, you know, we're not home. So we moved to Kerry the following year, and Christopher went into a very small rural school where he was related to probably more than half the school. So again, nothing sort of kind of struck out too much. You know, they said, you know, he's grand, he's a little quiet. I had him repeat second class. And so he did all right that year. And then he moved on to third class. And it was sort of like as if, you know, he just kind of couldn't progress any further.
Okay.
And I don't know. He had a very good teacher those couple years. And it was him that mentioned to me that there was a reading unit in Killarney. So at the time, I still didn't have a learning difficulty diagnosed. I only had the Asperger's diagnosed.
Okay.
And I kept saying, there's definitely something else here. And I said, no, like he's grand. And no, he's not. So I finally got an EPS assessment. And we toured a couple schools that year, but I really liked the school in Killarney. And based on Christopher's scores in Galway, he wouldn't have been eligible. So I needed a new NEPS, and so I got that. And you know, it's sad to say, but like you actually have to be like at the low. You have to be basically in the 1%. You know, wouldn't it be great if, you know, every child with dyslexia could go into a reading unit?
Yeah.
So he was very fortunate to secure a place for the following September, and it was the first time that a bus went from the Sneem area to the school in Killarney. And to my knowledge, that bus is still running today. So, you know, it was a huge progress. It was a huge success, you know. So he went there, you know, there was a journey, but he never seemed to sort of mind the travel. So we were fortunate in that sense.
Okay, so this is a primary school. Is the reading unit an alternative to primary school or a supplement to primary school?
It's St. Oliver's. I mean, I have no problem sharing that. There's
several
units. I think there's a reading unit and there's two other kind of, I think they have a language unit and
Okay. So he travelled in and out on the bus to Killarney from your home.
Yes.
Yeah. So then take us to secondary school, Bernadette, and what happened then?
Yeah, so he did that for 3 years, and then we were in Khmer at this stage, and, you know, I was delighted that, you know, there was a school up the street. So, you know, I rang and I enrolled, and I, you know, mentioned a few things. And so he went into first year, and he just kind of felt very, from the beginning, he just found it very overwhelming. Now, he would be, you know, somewhat shy anyways, but not, and then not have gone to school in Khmer. He didn't really know a lot of people, which didn't really bother him in one sense. He just sort of found the whole thing very, you know, it was very big. Even though St. Olivers is very big, they were kind of small fishes down in this quiet little room. He just found the whole thing very overwhelming, but it was more minor things that, you know, would bother him than the typical child. You know, if the teacher was out and there was a substitute, I mean, that would just put him completely over the edge, you know.
Yeah.
He couldn't get his locker open for the whole time he was there. I mean, I was in and out. I had a list of about 20 things. I will say, you know, the principal was, you know, I still to this day have a great relationship with him because I have three other children. You know, he did listen to me. He tried his best.
That school was not for Christopher, though, obviously.
It wasn't for him. And yeah. I didn't know, again, being new to, even though I was here now for several years, I didn't really know what the other options were.
Okay. And did he make friends while he was in that school, or was he still struggling socially?
He didn't really, but it didn't really bother him. I mean, that's hard for people to understand. You know, like a lot of children on the spectrum don't have friends, and it normally bothers, I'd say, the parents more than the children.
Okay.
And that's what a psychologist will actually tell you. If it's not bothering them, it shouldn't be bothering you.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Like he did have his brothers. He had friends in our estate. You know, he was very social. I mean, he could travel back to America at the age of 12 on his own, you know.
Okay.
He always got along very well with adults younger than him.
Okay. So he didn't stay at that school in Kenmare. So where did you move him to then? Where did you decide?
I kind of poked around a bit, and I came across Youth Reach, which is one of the reasons really that I wanted to do the interview, because it's a very hidden aspect that a lot of people do not know about, and those that do know about it have the wrong idea of it. So basically it's a second chance education, and you're supposed to be 16 to go there, and I was only 15, so I was kind of, you know, I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. So I rang them anyways, and Christopher and I went and toured the school that April. One of the main things that caught my attention was there's no homework. Everything is, it's a QQI3 and a QQI4. It's a 2-year program. So it's equivalent to your junior cert and your leaving cert.
Okay.
And they do English, they do math, they do science, they do art, but then they also do a lot of life skills. You know, they do communication, they do interview skills. You know, they really try and get them out in the community. Christopher did 2 work placements while he was there. So again, a lot of people, you know, told me, oh, my God, he was too young, like, you're crazy. You know, he's not the typical clientele. And at the time, the school in Khmer was building the autism unit. And, you know, the principal said, would you try it one more year? Like, you know, and he could integrate from the unit. And I said, you know, I didn't really feel what was the point of waiting a year. I knew if Youth Reach didn't work, he could always go back. Whereas if I did another year of this, I mean, I was at breaking point. I'll be perfectly honest with you.
I can imagine the worry of it.
1 year, my husband asked me what I wanted for Christmas. And I said, I really want a new school for Christopher. That's all I want.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It took him a while. He took a public bus those 2 years. So it took him a while to settle in, but he did, you know, and even I think initially, like, they were trying to get him to integrate with the kids, and he kind of more got on better with the staff. Do you know what I mean? But eventually, you know, they just kind of accepted, you know, this is who he is, you know, and he'll do all right, you know, because the one thing about Christopher, with all his struggles, he was always very compliant in school.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't the kid goofing off who then gets the resources. I mean, he was struggling internally, masking it, and we were getting, you know, the meltdowns when he got home.
Yeah, okay.
So he did well. It took him a while, but he settled in, and he got Student of the Year the year he graduated. He was thrilled.
Brilliant. So that takes us up to post-secondary school, we say, post-Youth Reach.
Yeah.
He wanted...
Youth Reach really wanted him to go to the National Learning Network. and to get kind of another year under his belt, and he didn't really want that, and I respected him for that. So they were kind of more, and that's the other one that I just, even though Christopher didn't go there, that's another one that should get a shout out, because a lot of people don't know about the National Learning Network either. There's great courses for people that do struggle academically, and I think you can go there from the age of 16.
Okay.
He didn't want to do that, so he was kind of, you know, trying to decide what he wanted to do. He always kind of had an interest in art, and we had seen that there was an art course in the local adult center here. So he said he'd put his name down for that. And I suppose you could say maybe I was naive. I never really thought of another option. I didn't see any reason why, you know, a young person in the area, you know, looking for a course would be turned down. And we didn't find out until almost the end of October that he was turned down. So it was very disappointing. And it just, it made no sense to me why he was turned down.
Okay.
So me just being me, I did appeal it and I did write letters because I was very angry, because what came out, which I don't know if it was meant to come out, was that the reason they didn't take him was because they didn't felt that they could give him one-to-one support. And at no stage were they ever asked to give him one-to-one support. Christopher never had one-to-one support his entire journey through education.
He didn't need it. Yeah.
So, he actually still talks about that to this day, how, you know, he really went into a kind of a depressed little mode there for a few weeks, and just thought, you know, will I ever do anything? Like, where will I go now? So I told him to go over to America for a while and sure take some time. So he did that for a couple months, and then he came back. He did a kind of few. He always wanted to do first aid and kind of different little things like that. And you know, he said, what will I do in September? And we kind of looked at a few different courses, and they were offering a full-time psychology course. And I said, you know, what about this? And he said, oh, you know, what if I don't get in? I said, oh, no, you'll get in. Like, don't worry about that. And he did. Yeah, so he basically had to get from Khmer to Kalani, and then there was an 8 o'clock bus that goes right to kind of the Tralee school areas.
Okay. So after the year of the PLC course, he entered MTU. So how did that come about?
Yeah, so, like, I mean, at that stage, I was happy enough, like, because you're very employable with the QQI-5. But he said no, that he wanted to go on. So I remember I went with him to the student support the spring before he was start, and, you know, just kind of brought all his files, and we kind of asked what kind of support. And she actually shared with me a year later that she honestly didn't think that he would make it. Social Care is actually one of the hottest degrees in MTU. He talked one time at the Disability Awareness Day, and she shared this with the group, like, I didn't even know she felt this way. And she said that she just thought that she just could not believe that I would travel to Kalani every morning with him to get a bus to go over to do the PLC course. And to me, I always just say to everybody, a school year goes so quick, anything is doable.
Yeah. You know? Exhausting for you, though, on the road all the time in all weather.
Yeah, you know, but we managed, and, you know, so anyway, so he went anyways, and initially he wasn't sure what he was going to do, and so we kind of were doing kind of the same, and then he sort of kind of got the social bug, I suppose, and he saw kind of, you know, different things that were going on, and he said, you know, maybe, you know, would I try living there? I rang around to a few places, and one guy took his name, you know, for a wait list, and he called me a couple days later, and he said that somebody was after dropping out the house of second years, you know, but where Christopher was on the older end, he said, I think he'll be okay if he wants to try it. And I'll understand, you know, if he doesn't stay the whole year. He was very, very accommodating, very, very nice, you know, to both myself and Christopher. And he stayed there for 3 years. It's Koshkane Village.
Sorry, in what village?
I probably say it wrong. Koshkane.
No.
It's right there near the North Campus, and his classes were all on the North Campus.
Okay, and he liked the independence of living away from home, I bet.
He did, yeah. You know, I mean, he came home most weekends and stuff like that, but he met people in that house that he's still friends with today. Now, he got absolutely great. There's great support in third level. The only thing is, at that stage, it has to be the student advocating for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Which Christopher was able to do, you know, and he was not shy to ask for whatever he was entitled to. He had scribes, he had a private room for every exam, he had a reader, you know, he had extra accommodation. I know a lot of people in similar situations, and, you know, the student doesn't want to ask or they don't want people to know, but he had no hesitation in asking for anything he was entitled to. And I think, you know, over the years, I was always kind of told, you know, that I was mothering him or I was this or that, but I think he watched me.
He watched you fight for him and then he fought for himself.
Exactly.
So just to cut a long story short, as they say, he graduated from MTU in October last year, as I said at the outset, with a BA degree, an honours degree in social care after how many years, Bernadette?
So he took a fifth year. The last year he just did his dissertation. He did find COVID very hard. He didn't like the online learning at all. And he completed fourth year with everything barring his dissertation. And then he went back and he just did that.
That's incredible. How proud of him are you?
So proud.
I bet that was an incredible day, the day of his graduation.
It was. Sorry, no, I get a little emotional sometimes.
I know, but you fought for him every step of the way.
No, I most certainly did. I suppose that's the one thing I will say to any parent with a child with special needs is, you know, you're their advocate. You have to be. You know, and professionals are not always right.
And what's he doing now? What's the plan now?
He's working with TUSLA in a residential home. And he's talking about a master's, so I'm not really sure.
But isn't he a wonderful case study, really, of somebody who didn't go the conventional academic route that many people do in Ireland, as in junior cert, leaving cert, college? But he got there in the end.
He did, absolutely.
And why were you so keen to share his story, Bernadette? Do you feel there's other parents out there who perhaps have had a diagnosis and are maybe worried that their child might never achieve what they want them to achieve?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I never thought Christopher would have gone to college. I mean, I'm absolutely honest with you. I mean, he started struggling in secondary school. I just said to myself, I have to get him to 18. You know, if I can get him educated to 18, he'd get some kind of employment, I'm sure. You know, would it be in a shop or whatnot, you know?
Mm.
Many professionals that told me I was crazy, you know, I was crazy when I sent him traveling to go to school. You know, I was worried too much, like, to just let him be. And, you know, there was a lot of battles along the way. I mean, his file is as thick.
But you were determined that he was going to live up to his potential. And my God, did he do that?
Yeah, I mean, I would have been perfect. I mean, if he hadn't gone to college, I would have been just as happy. I mean, this was his route. He actually really likes education, you know. Even kids that go the traditional route and do the leaving cert. I mean, I see so many, you know, and they don't get the points. They really think that's the end of the line, and it's not the end of the line. There's so many PLC courses out there. There's so many back doors. And I think even though people keep saying it, there's still a lot of people that don't believe it.
And doesn't it just show too, Bernadette, that all our brains are wired differently? And just because we don't learn in the conventional way doesn't mean that we can't learn or can't get there. It's just a matter of somebody being willing to teach us to learn in a different way. Am I saying
absolutely
that correctly? Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, I have one son who did extremely, extremely well in the leaving cert. He's as bright as a bulb, but we call him the absent-minded professor. You know, I have another son that did the leaving, but he did the PLC route as well, you know, before he went on to UL.
Yeah, and it's great that you don't necessarily have to do the leaving cert now to be able to go to college. You'll get there eventually through your own route.
You know, I congratulate any child that does, you know, the 500-600 points, but to me, the leaving cert, it really needs to be revamped. I mean, it's basically a memory test. Do you know what I mean? And it's the most frustrating system. I mean, I don't understand it at all. And I don't understand the stress, you know, that they put kids under. And it's bonkers.
Bernadette, we better let you go. But Christopher's story is remarkable. I mean, in addition to what we've already said about, it's a tale about how you'll get there in the end by being determined. But it's also a story of a very devoted mother who just wanted to do the best for her son. So I think you should be proud of yourself as well.
Thank you. Exactly. One good adult is the saying.
Bernadette, listen, we wish you and Christopher all the very best. And it's great that you shared the story, because I know that there are so many other parents out there with a son or daughter who might be like Christopher or have similarities to Christopher. And I know it will give them inspiration to fight for their child as well.
Thank you so much.